You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
You're tuned into The Wire. 1 hour of current affairs and analysis starting now.
Tēnā koutou katoa, ko jōgai toku ingoa anō mai haere mai ki te Wire mō tēnei rā. Kia ora, welcome to The Wire for Thursday the 13th of April. It's Jōgai here, your host, and today I'm joined by my producer Jess Smith. Sup, Jess?
Sup!
So coming up on the show today, I have an update on Cyclone Cook, courtesy of Lisa Murray from Met Service, and we chat to one half of Thursday Girls, Vanessa Krofsky, about their monthly poetry reading, the first of which is on tonight at The Basement. My producer Jess has a report on the RSA's new fundraising challenge, and BFM reporter Natasha Ahmed speaks to the University of Otago's Corinda Taylor to learn more about problems in the mental health system. Labour leader Andrew Little is also back for our weekly chat. We've got a great show lined up for you. If you have any thoughts throughout it, please get in contact by calling 309 3879 or text in on 5395.
Can anyone explain why the modern day whales are so big?
The Wire.
The weather is quite literally taking the country by storm, leading many institutions to close down for the day, including BFM's very own residence, the University of Auckland. I spoke to Lisa Murray from Met Service earlier this morning for a quick update. Cyclone Cook is causing havoc across the North Island. It's kind of been branded the worst storm since 1968. Can you kind of give me an update on what's happening?
Yes, yeah, so Cyclone Cook is expected to make landfall this evening, coming onto the Coromandel Peninsula Bay of the Western Bay of Plenty region at about 7 to 8 p.m. The effects of it will be felt from afternoon, though, as winds start to pick up and you'll start to see some swell along that coast as well. That's going to track down central North Island, move off on the Wairarapa, and should be lying at just off the east of Kaikoura Coast at 6 a.m. Friday morning. Then it continues to move south, and by Friday evening, it'll really be only affecting the southern corner of the country, like Clutha, Dunedin, those kind of areas.
Oh, I see. So when is it kind of expected to hit its peak today?
So really, the most affected areas is that when it first makes that landfall, you know, we're most concerned there. But anywhere, it's really tightly packed low. So anywhere it tracks as it moves down, can expect to see severe gales, could get some downpours with it as well. So, you know, we're talking downpours up to 40 millimetres in an hour. So this could cause poor visibility when driving, rivers and streams to rise rapidly, surface flooding, landslips, things like that. So, we have put a lot of regions on watches and warnings at the moment, and I do advise people to check their region for their rainfall totals, their rainfall amounts, and the strength of the winds for their region, and also the timing. And you can get them at metservice.com.
And I've heard that, you know, a lot of universities are shutting down today, including Auckland University itself, and also I think they're considering closing down the Harbour Bridge. Is that right?
Well, as far as, you know, schools and universities are concerned, it's probably best during this system that people don't travel. So although it's not so bad right now, as the winds pick up into the afternoon and evening when people would be going home, you know, it is a crucial time. It's best to have as few people as possible on the roads. It's really batten down the hatches, you know, stay put if you can, and just let the storm pass. It does pass quite quickly. So for the likes of the Auckland region, the most severe weather will have passed through by tonight and into tomorrow. Then there's just some showers and some northerly winds, but the worst, that severe weather will have passed. And even the likes of Gisborne and Hawke's Bay, they're going to be in, you know, they're going to see sunshine tomorrow.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay, well, are there any, I mean, we've heard from some people saying that there's been this sort of huge emergency and a lot of health concerns emerging as well. Do you have any kind of comment on that?
Well, you see, a lot of places are already very saturated. We had a wetter than average March. We've already had a wetter than average April, and it's only the 13th of April. You know, we've had quite a lot of rain around the region. A lot of places are already saturated. Like, we just had to look at Edgecumbe to see the devastation that a lot of rain can cause. And this is going to top that up. So it's only really going to exacerbate the situation up there. And because the soils are already very moist and wet, and then you add winds to that, you can expect to see, you know, trees coming down. You can expect to see power lines, and people could get power outages, and should really prepare for that. So what we're saying is, you know, prepare for the worst. If you batten down the hatches and, you know, stay put and let the storm pass, hopefully everyone will get through this safely.
Right. Is that the kind of final word of advice then?
Yes, absolutely. You know, for the likes of Wellington as it moves through, Wellington region, you know, if you go to bed early and then, you know, have a lie in for Good Friday, you will miss the worst of the storm.
It's fucked.
Yeah, it is.
The Wire.
Now, the fake American accent is a monthly poetry reading brought to you by Thursday Girls, a dream team collaboration between performance artist and acclaimed poet Vanessa Krofsky, alongside writer and filmmaker Amanda Jane Robinson. I spoke to Vanessa earlier yesterday morning ahead of their first event at The Basement tonight.
Fake American Accent is an upcoming poetry reading that myself and Amanda Robinson have created under the, like, artist duo Thursday Girls. It's basically a show where six New Zealand writers receive an assigned quote reading back of a cereal box, and then they create a written piece that has been loosely responded to that, and then perform it and present that as part of a show.
Cool. So who are the readers this month?
The readers are, like, it's kind of a mixed bag, but, like, a good mixed bag, like, great pick and mix. Featuring, like, people at the top of their game and also just, like, notable emerging talent. So we've got Jess Bates, Ken Arkind, Alice Canton, Kyla De La Cruz, Mano and Nate from the new Sass and Samba Collective, and Maya Morrison Middleton from Fresh and Fruity performing.
Cool. So I hear that, like, each poem is kind of in response to a quote or from a film or an album assigned the month before, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so what's the piece being responded to this month?
This month, we decided to be real quirky and give them two quotes to respond to. I'm going to tell you the first one, but you can figure out the other one if you come to the show. The first one is a quote by an American poet, Jane Kenyon, that is, "If it's darkness we're having, let it be extravagant."
So
yeah, real like, ooh.
Ooh, what's going to happen next?
Crazy, yeah.
So where can people go to find out more?
So we have posted up some information on our Facebook page, Thursday Girls, and there's an event on Facebook as well. But basically, this show is 1 hour long. It's on tomorrow at the Basement Theatre. Tomorrow, so Thursday, April 13th at 8:30 p.m. in the studio, and it's $5 unwaged, $10 wage, which just goes to, like, paying our artists, basically.
Right, and is this the first kind of Thursday Girls event?
Yeah, it's the premiere, which is a bit scary, but we're really, really excited about the show, and we've had so much help from our friends and The Basement, and a little bit of help from CNZ, shout out. And, yeah, we're just so excited, and we think it's going to be great. There are, like, special guest performances and heaps of things going on.
Cool. That's very exciting. I will definitely be there, and everyone else should come too.
Definitely.
Cool. Thank you very much. Yeah, definitely.
Just about it on Tinder. We're really excited.
Oh, on all social media. I've got you. Yeah.
Amazing. All right. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Around, you know, up to 8,000 or 10,000.
Shit.
The Wire.
Yes, you are tuned into The Wire on 95BFM. We're just going to have a little ad break now, but I will leave you with the song If I Lose My Way by SJD.
We'll be right back.
Yeah, not bad. Hey, come check out some of these beautiful tracks. I got 96kb MP3s. I got the sick WMA from Zippy Share, some great YouTube rips, some ultra weird Nigerian boogie. Check this. Just listen.
Oh, no, I don't think so.
No, you're the boss. Hey, how about this? Come on and wind me up.
The Swap Meet. 4 till 7 every Sunday afternoon on BFM. It's a digger's selection of funk, soul, boogie, jazz, and whatever else is in the bag that week. With your hosts, Jupt, Kirk, Ira, and guests.
Lay back, take it easy.
I saw this girl in a black Mercedes.
The Swap Meet, Sundays from 4 p.m. on 95 BFM.
You are tuned into The Wire on 95 BFM. My producer Jess now has a story for you, Jess.
Six teams will compete in a military challenge to retrieve a flag from the highest point of the Sky Tower to raise funds for the RSA's annual poppy appeal. New Zealand's defence personnel and emergency response services will go head-to-head in the challenge, taking place on Thursday, April 20th. Here's a report I recorded earlier on the event. The Tower de Force Challenge, taking place at Sky City, Auckland, will see six teams face a series of challenges to retrieve their flag from the mast of the Sky Tower, which stands at 328 metres high. Teams must then return the flag to ground level by abseiling down the base of the tower. Other challenges on the way up the tower include a military skills course, a 1,229-metre stair climb, a mock emergency first aid scenario, climbing the mast of the Sky Tower, which is a 91-metre vertical ladder climb, and then abseiling 160 metres down the tower. Teams of six from the Royal New Zealand Navy, New Zealand Army, Royal New Zealand Air Force, the New Zealand Defence Force Veterans, St John New Zealand and Sky City will be competing. The challenge aims to raise funds for the Auckland's RSA annual Poppy Day appeal to continue the RSA's support of New Zealand veterans, their families and dependents. In addition to fundraising, the teams will be competing for the inaugural Tower de Force title and the honour of lighting the Sky Tower with the poppy emblem later that night. Since 2014, the Sky Tower has projected a large poppy onto the Sky Tower for Poppy Week and Anzac Day. Sky City Acting General Manager Matt Ballasty says Sky City is excited to be adding a unique and challenging event to its poppy partnership with the Auckland RSA, after being a proud supporter for more than 4 years now. He adds this will be the ultimate challenge with the bravery, dedication and grit of our military and civilian organisations put to the test. Auckland RSA President Graham Gibson says the RSA is delighted that this new event will showcase the spirit of comradeship in the heart of Auckland and is a continuation of the successful poppy partnership with Sky City. He also adds that he is pretty sure that the experience of the New Zealand Defence Force Veterans Team will come out on top. The Tower de Force course has been developed by Sky City in conjunction with the New Zealand Defence Force physical training instructors and will test skill, agility, teamwork, stamina and brute strength. The military ceremony will begin at 2 p.m. on Thursday the 20th of April with a raising of the New Zealand flag, a haka performance and two Harvard aircraft flying over the Auckland CBD. The challenge will begin at 2:30 p.m. with teams starting on 15-minute intervals and it will finish around 5 p.m. Friends, family and the public are invited to come and watch the challenge at Sky City Auckland on the 20th of April and you can donate to the RSA on behalf of the teams taking part at www.skycityauckland.co.nz/towerdeforce.
The French, for instance, love the cock.
You're tuned into The Wire.
Large numbers of people are joining the call for a national inquiry into New Zealand's mental health services as the system struggles to keep up with demand and faces more and more problems. Over 1,700 people are delivering a petition to the House of Representatives asking for a comprehensive, independent nationwide inquiry into the matter. BFM reporter Natasha Ahmed spoke to the Life Matters Suicide Prevention Trust chairperson Corinda Taylor to find out more.
Basically, the way I see it is that many people cannot get access to help when they are in crisis. They are turned away from crisis services. So I think the best way to look at it is like an early intervention system. So when people first start experiencing problems, that they can get free access to good counselling. Now, we all know that that doesn't happen. So that is why we have people that end up in crisis and they still don't get help. So they are turned away at critical clinical moments when they are asking for help. And after all, we are telling people to ask for help. So that's the dilemma we have. For me, that's the biggest problem.
Yeah, yeah, that makes sense. And what types of improvements do you think will improve the current services?
I think GPs struggle to refer to counselling services and it has to be ongoing. You can't prescribe to people that they can only go for 4 or 5 brief intervention sessions. I think the government needs to invest more in that area so that people can feel that there is a place to go to get help that they seek. Another big problem that we have identified is the lack of electronic record keeping in the mental health services, sharing that information with other services, be it general health or mental health. And when that person then does go and reach out for help, that person is often not identified as a person under the mental health services.
And what did you want the inquiry to cover?
We would like a comprehensive inquiry to look at all aspects of care, such as where is the money being spent? Is it making a difference where the money is being spent? And we suspect that it is not. I deal with queries from people almost on a daily basis. For one instance, and I don't have a lot of experience in this area, is the paediatric mental health services. And it would appear that there aren't enough beds or units available nationwide for people that are struggling with eating disorders, for argument's sake. So that is a big, big area that needs addressing. Other areas, I guess the accountability, the lack of training for staff, lack of resources. You know, staff often complain about not being able to see all their patients, and when they do see that patient at the critical moment, and they are no beds available, they are left with making that decision whether to send that person away or tell somebody else to vacate a bed to make sure that this person gets into. So it's a bit like having to make a choice who is more serious or not at that point.
Yeah, cool. Just a last question. Do you think that Jonathan Coleman cares about our mental health sector?
I don't think he cares, no.
Why should New Zealanders care so much about this?
Because your children will curse you if you don't.
The Wire.
You are tuned into The Wire on 95BFM. We are just going to go for a little ad break now, but we'll leave you with the song Bangladesh by Your Old Droog.
Bangladesh, at 16 my slang was fresh. I would not tire, spitting hot fire in a sesh, or on a voicemail like John Tesh. Couldn't see me in the flesh, y'all better off silent like the pest. You know my stilo, Don Kilo, since Jordan made the shot on Elo. If you don't know anything, know that Wild D nice. Check my closet, C-Lo like three dice. And I ain't even a head thieving for bread. Bandit with a candle lit, grieving the dead. I said, I'm more disheveled, the stress levels as high as I try to make sense of the time that whiz by. Saw my looks dilapidate at a rapid rate. Used to be virile for the ports, made me sterile. The terrible serum chronicles and cock blocking perils. But I dust myself off, rocking my apparel. Former coke heads like Doc and Daryl. Still came in this lock, stock, and barrel. While I was making sure every bar is hard, you herbs was playing Pokemon, chasing Charizard. I peeped the scenery, sipping green tea. The old head dropped gems in the yard like Mr. Feeney. Now I'm pulling up the lean lead with Santini, Houdini, and a zucchini colored Lamborghini.
Yeah. I'm Fellini, eating fettuccine at the Meanie Mall. She said, Hemi, you can't see me, why you such a meanie for? Whipping in that beanie for a door like you on CD Hall. Out in Long Island, why you don't come to the CD for? Thought I did the rap in vain like a junkie. Funky fresh cold Medina, hot, sexy, punky. Mama tried to punk me, dump me, jump me, cause I kept it 100 since 21 in Jump Street. Now I'm in Tahiti with a queen like Nefertiti. You can't see me cause my face between her. That's right. Bank off the CD, hit the bank, cop a CD. Offshore accounts in Dubai with her BB. Put the bars together like a restaurateur. Provocateur with the raw and Bobby Brown jaw. If my melanin could talk, it'd tell you what the brown saw. Why I did the brown for? The feds probably round y'all. So I should probably keep it quiet. Yeah. About the selling and the buying, they paying when I'm flying. 20 Bangladeshis with me, about to start a riot. I've been yelling, I've been screaming, I've been kicking, I've been crying. Yeah, we move that product for the Prada. Only whip low-key, Miata or Sonata. Is Himachu, the Pikachu or a Charizard? My bars is hard, my girl went to Barbizon. Hemi, Queens,
Brooklyn.
YOD, New York.
Sean P. I need a verse from your home skillet, but you know, you might not want to do it. You'll call me back and tell me you're rough. Get the fuck out of here, Sean P. Or you might call and go, hey, Sean, this is the best record I've ever heard in my life, man. I'm honored to get on it. Or, you know, fuck is this guy, Sean P. Whatever. This will be my classic, man. Peace.
It's going off. You coming in?
Nah, my board needs to charge up.
What?
It's the new solar powered one I bought from that co-working startup that crowdfunded the tech cooperative.
They were just punk kids from Newland Heights.
Bro, I'll come out when the sun's out, okay? Surfing's moved on, okay? This is now. This is where it's at. It's like Uber, but for surfing. And move, your shadow's blocking the solar panels.
Those are just shiny black stickers.
Hippie.
The 95BFM Surf Report, proudly sponsored by P2 Power. Sign up for peer-to-peer power at p2power.co.nz.
The Green Party said yesterday that the government's weak strategy for cleaning up fresh water won't undo years of abuse unless we change our farming model and take a hard look at how we develop land in this country. BFM reporter Ambrose Omega speaks to Green MP Catherine Delahunty about this issue.
Can you explain in your words what the government is proposing?
Well, the government has a clean water plan that they put out last month, which was so confusing that no one could understand it. And basically, they're giving themselves till 2040 to clean up rivers. Many of us don't think that's satisfactory. And also, it's been very hard to tell how they would deal with some of the most difficult issues, such as the nitrates that come from having too many cows on the land. So there are many criticisms of their cleanup plan, and there are many concerns that there is a lack of urgency and responsibility for the dire state of our waterways.
Okay, just to build on to that, are we talking about the same clean water plan that I believe it was Clean Rivers,
yep,
NZ spoke out against? Lowering the standard but not actually changing it?
Yes, it's a huge debate about what they've actually done to the standard, because it's very hard to understand, and it appears to be a lowering of standard, although the minister denies it. But the chief science advisor, Sir Peter Gluckman, put out a report yesterday, came out last night, basically saying, I think he was attempting to translate some of the stuff that Nick Smith's been on about, and saying that some of our rivers are past tipping point, and that the current farming model, if we carry on with it, will continue to degrade water quality. So, you know, it is pretty concerning that the chief science advisor can see that our rivers, some of them, are past tipping point. So it's a very serious situation.
I completely agree. Okay, so what are your concerns with you and your party's concerns?
Well, it's basically about land use. So, yes, we have problems in the cities where some of our sewage and wastewater is poorly managed, and you know, has been for a long time. But the biggest cause of the dirty rivers in this country and the degrading of the water is so much of the water is contaminated by intents of dairy farming. So we're in areas where we have intensive agriculture, not just dairy farming, but also beef farming, there are so many animals on the land now. We've got 10 million cows across the country, and some of the soils can't take it. Particularly the pumice soils, the peat soils. You just see that all the nutrients that they when the cows' waste goes onto the land, and when they put all these additional nutrients on through giving them palm kernel and using fertilizers to keep production going in this big high volume model that doesn't have high value, we're really wrecking our waterways. They just can't take that level of pressure. And so we're very concerned about that. And although the government said that they're going to put some strong rules around stock exclusion, so you don't have cows literally walking in waterways anymore, that will not fix some of the long-term problems that the farming model, not farming itself, there's nothing wrong with farming, but the farming model that we're currently seem to be addicted to is creating some of these serious issues.
So do you think the government cares about the state of our environment, or is it not really their biggest priority?
It's definitely not their biggest priority, because the Minister for the Environment is prepared to accept a rate of change and a lack of urgency that is not in step with what most of people in this country want. People in this country want urgent action on waterways, and what the Minister says is he's doing all this stuff for clean water, but in the same breath he's saying we can continue to have intense agriculture and endless growth, and those things simply are not compatible. It's a complete contradiction.
Okay. Why do you think National is so intent on not regulating the farming industry, and what would you like to see in terms of them changing this going ahead?
Well, the National Government are lobbied constantly, as are we all, that they should be promoting the opportunity to make maximum profit out of all our resources, and many of them believe that that's legitimate. And, of course, the rest of the environment pays for that kind of attitude. So we, the Greens, have a very strong plan about changing the national policy statement on fresh water so that we have swimmable rivers, especially in summer when people want to swim. That's the time when they need to be. And that means making sure that we have a healthy ecosystem in a river. It's not just about measuring the E. coli bugs. It's about making sure that native fish can survive, about making sure that the insects, that the clarity of the water, the temperature, the over allocation of so much of the rivers for irrigation is a huge issue, particularly in places like Canterbury. So all of those issues need to be looked at. We've abused our water too long, so we've got a lot of ideas about what needs to happen, and we look forward to changing the government so we can implement them, and we can have great farming models. But what we've got at the moment is not it.
Wire. Like, naked is the theme. Like, people just love getting naked.
Say my life is like a movie, looking every day, missionary, doggy style, Mary, wake up. I'm not the you thought that drinking, we off that, I hit that, no callback, she ratchet, I like it, I hold it, she bite it, she lick it and suck it, I break it, he wife it, no feelings for her, it ain't my main thing, I'm sticking on the same thing, all my nigga gang bang, baby, do too, this is my boo, 2 C's on the bag, she throw up, pop blue, and we off that, to rock, she don't mind if I do, her girlfriend a thot, till I hop in my coupe, till I hop in my bed, till I hop off my roof, my baby mama tripping in that can shoot, but you can let me hit it or not. Watch your shit or not. I shoot you. Walk, no talk, no subbing, no woofers, it's on. Tell by my tone. Really, call better, answer your phone. You can let me hit or not.
Can I stretch it or not?
You can let me watch you strip or not.
Can I get a new fit or not?
Don't fight the fit.
You gon' be a yeah, or not. You gon' let it nigga hit or not. What you saying? Know you with it, so why you playing? Better fuck a rich nigga, you can. I be on one, 2 C's for the city. I'm on, I got Griff Band up. Nigga, with me, wait up. Just tell me you with it and let me get it. Baby, if you skip the bullet, you can let me hit it. Three pills down, got me rolling like Nip. Keep playing games, but you know that you'll flip. Hold up, quit playing and give it up. You gon' let it nigga hit or what? What's up?
Let me hit it or not.
Can I stretch it or not?
You gon' let me watch you strip or not.
Oh. everything is everything of everything. I put everything, touch you like sunshine. You're the punchline, well let's swing. Music, my medicine, more inspired than I've ever been. Want more fire, got the kerosene. Pull all night, it's like ketamine, but none of that. Only vodka, red wine, we too. Good vibes, good food, good fortune, good people. Bad rep, good intentions, fresh to death, life sentence. Resurrect the true essence of hip hop with a new message. I tell ya, it still wouldn't hit the heart of Australia. Cause my DNA ain't part of its makeup. I guess it is nature. I guess it is something that I should just face up. After feeling all caged up, this is a taste of me picking the pasty. Rah! Look, everything's there for whenever you want it. I don't care whatever I'm on it. I just wanna get gold wings like Sonic. Breeze through in a fast lane, smoke chronic. Everything's there for whenever you want it. Look, I don't care whatever I'm on it. I just wanna get gold wings like Sonic. Breeze through in a fast lane, smoke chronic. Flex on, try send for me, got the text wrong. Discipline, headstrong, we at the business end. What's the next song? What's the next album? What's the next move? On the good foot with my best shoes, best hat with my best suit, best note, old best crew. I got hype on it, spiritual on it, beat slap stone, it got miracle on it. Heard it, had to put me on it, and you know I'm on it. Got footsie on it, put out my neck, everything on it. You heard correct, I put everything on it. Grip on it, weathering on it, it's crunch time, put celery on it, like, whoop. All that I do for the day crew pay homage. And yes, it is true. On my day ones, they bonkers. On my new days, they new fate. We're bringing soul here like a suitcase. Sisters and brothers, haters and lovers. Go to cover like a duvet. Ah!
You are tuned into The Wire on 95BFM. Now we are joined by the Labour leader, Andrew Little. Andrew, how's it going?
Oh, very good. I'm in Edgecombe at the moment.
You're in Edgecombe?
Been having a look at some of the damage and trying to keep out of the rain. But
right.
So pretty sobering morning, to be honest.
Yeah, I heard you were visiting the families this morning, actually. And it's kind of barely recovered from the destructive floods from last week, and now we're expecting the worst storm since 1968. What's kind of the update, I suppose?
Yeah, I guess people are just bracing themselves. I mean, we were being escorted by a police officer who was suddenly told he had to go to Waportiki because they're expecting really serious things there, so he had to take off. So I think there's a sense that people are just bracing themselves. They kind of got through the best they can last week, and more to come. So it's tough. It does, you know, it highlights that issue though about changing weather patterns and climate change. You know, we've got to get serious about this stuff.
Yeah, and hundreds of residents are kind of facing displacement at the moment. What are your proposed plans to help Edgecombe and other flood damaged Eastern Bay of Plenty areas?
I mean, it's not going to be fixed quickly, just looking at some of the houses. A lot of the houses are repairable, but that's still going to take months, and there are some houses that are complete write-offs. And I think the main thing is to make sure that for those people who are going to be out of their houses for some months, even if they can get back into them eventually, is that they have somewhere to go. And I think, and I just don't know enough, people couldn't tell me about what the availability of alternative housing is like around here. That's going to be the challenge. And, you know, because people still got jobs to hold down and families to get together and kids to get to schools.
So, you know, people don't want to up sticks and go somewhere completely different. So that's going to be the challenge, is making sure that there is a place for people to go for a few months while the town gets back on its feet.
Mm, can you talk to us a bit about some of the families that you've met this morning?
Yeah, I went to a couple of the marae that are, one is putting on meals and providing clothing. I mean, they've had amazing donations, just all sorts of things, clothing, bedding, other linen and stuff. So a lot of people in and out of there. A lot of people are staying with friends and family, and that's okay at the moment, although they are saying they're staying in overcrowded housing. But they can get a meal at the marae, and so that's pretty good. Went to another marae that is just doing sort of food packs. Again, supporting people who are in temporary accommodation now. But they, you know, I think people, they're at that stage where they know what's happened. They know they've got their lives to pull together, and they're just kind of getting through day by day at the moment. That was the most commonly used phrase, just getting through day by day.
Mm.
But people are holding up, but it's going to be, you know, that constant need for support until things do get truly sorted out is still going to be needed. And I think just knowing that, you know, other New Zealanders understand what's happening and are supportive of them, I think, you know, we've still got to maintain those sort of messages of solidarity.
Yeah, I guess it's good to hear that the community is kind of banding together to help out. Sort of on a similar note, there's also the plan that Labor has pledged to instate 400 state rentals or affordable houses for Hutt Valley by 2020. And I was just kind of wanting to touch on an aspect of this pledge, which proposes 1 to 3 bedroom homes within the cost range of 200,000 to 350,000. How can you ensure these prices within Hutt Valley?
Well, yeah, well, the thing is, I mean, the purpose of that announcement was really to highlight that there is land already there that's not only available to be built on, as it was built on before. These are places where there used to be houses, and including state houses. So all the drainage and the plumbing and everything is there. And it's for that reason that we can keep the cost down. It adds to that, you know, these will be medium density sort of housing arrangements, so they're not kind of quarter acre sections. And we can negotiate long-term supply agreements with building material suppliers. All those things will help keep the cost down, and so that's why I'm confident we can do that. But I think it really highlights the fact that, you know, in a country where we do have such a massive shortage of housing, and you see these empty sections in these suburban areas, we've got to, you know, it's got to be a priority that's where we've got to start to build houses, and the government's got to lead it because the private developers aren't going to.
But do you think 400 state rentals is actually enough in terms of putting an end to poverty and homelessness in these areas?
It certainly won't put an end to poverty. It'll make a big difference in terms of homelessness. I mean, there's a few other things we need to do. You know, we've got to stop rents being hiked, and that comes back to the overall problem of that shortage of housing, shortage of, you know, own your own housing sort of thing. So we'll do that. In terms of the bigger poverty question, there's the income side of it as well, and that's a big project to work, is how we start to lift incomes, which you do through a range of things, including pay equity. And we've got to get, you know, a whole lot of jobs, occupations, professions dominated by women that get systemically paid lower than men. I mean, you start to fix that problem, you start to address those income inequalities and poverty questions there. So, housing sits at the heart of a lot of inequality problems, because if you don't have an anchor point in your life, you miss out on a heap of other opportunities. Kids miss out on stable education. So that fixes that long term. But I'm not saying that this is a panacea for absolutely every major challenge that we've got to fix.
But what can our current government do to address these issues of, as you mentioned, inequality and inequity? Earlier this week, you were quoted as saying Bill English was bleeding Housing New Zealand dry and failing to show leadership.
Yeah, so that's why. I mean, the reason we've made a big priority about housing and also health is that they are two parts of the inequality equation. People know that they have their own roof over their heads, whether they're renting it, whether they are paying for it themselves through a mortgage, whatever. People need their own place, and it's got to be, you know, warm, safe and dry. That is a huge issue, and we know that tens of thousands of people in New Zealand don't have that. they are living in overcrowded housing, living with others on a temporary basis. So you fix housing, you go, that's one step towards fixing inequality. You fix health and make sure that good health care is accessible to everybody who needs a good primary health care, you know, as a start. That, you know, so that people aren't falling sick and having to turn up to a hospital with, you know, with their children with respiratory conditions. And that goes a long way. Then there's the other issues about incomes, which we have to address as well. But that's, I mean, relying on or treating Housing New Zealand as basically a property manager that makes a profit and pays a dividend to the government, which is what this government has done for the last 9 years, that's not helping anybody. In fact, it's making the situation worse. And that's what we have to turn around.
And lastly, what's kind of your stance on overseas investment into our existing houses?
I mean, the idea, we have a whole bunch of people who live overseas, buy a house here, don't live in it. They just want to have a New Zealand house because they see a property price bubble. We would do what other countries, including Australia, are doing and say, listen, if you're living overseas or you're resident overseas and you want to buy a house in New Zealand, you can build a new house. And the existing housing stock that are here, let those who are living here, you know, have access to those houses, you know, compete on the market for those sorts of houses. So we would put some restrictions on that. We think that helps get at least some of the speculators out of the market.
Mm. Well, I think that's all we have time for today, Andrew. Thank you very much for your time.
Thanks very much.
I'll chat to you next week.
Look forward to it.
See ya.
You've been listening to Andrew Little from the Labour Party. The Wire. That was The Wire.
Yes, that brings us to the end of our show for another week. A big thanks to all those who spoke with us for the show today. Catherine Delahunty, Andrew Little, Vanessa Krofsky, Natasha Ahmed, Lisa Murray. Thank you very much to everyone. And also, big shout-outs to my producer, Jess. And, just thanks for being here, helping me out. It was good. It was hectic.
It was
tough, but we got through it.
We got it.
Yeah.
We did it. Shout out to Joga as well.
Thanks.
She'd a bomb.
And of course, a big thank you to all you listeners for tuning into The Wire this week. We'll be back again same time next Thursday. Sigrid is up next with the 1 to 4. Cheers.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.